copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Today I'm going to talk about whether God has a sense of humor. And to be honest with you, I have no clue, but I do have some thoughts about this. So what I'm going to do is just share these thoughts with you, and I hope you will come up with ideas, thoughts, suggestions, criticism, questions that will help me to think about this. So that's what we're going to do. Here's a bit of the background. Why is it relevant whether God has a sense of humor? Well, I think there are at least three reasons. First, if you read the Greek philosophers and like the early church fathers, they're not very positive about having a sense of humor. In fact, they're often quite negative about it. And I think that has influenced Christian theology and systematic theology in particular. But fortunately, during the last few, well, maybe decades or 100 years or so, that has changed. Philosophers, psychologists, theologians tend to think more positively about humor and having a sense of humor. But that raises the question, does God have a sense of humor? So I think it's back on the agenda. Second, I think it's important because it might be part of what it is to be created in the image of God. So we have a sense of humor, and maybe God has a sense of humor too, and that might be what it means to be created in the image of God. And third reason is that it might make a difference to certain Christian practices, such as liturgy and prayer. So and this is maybe the main reason why I started to think about this, is that I noticed. So, for instance, like after a Bible study group or towards the end, I mean, something funny happened, like someone knocked over a cup of coffee twice or something, you know, something stupid happened. And someone might refer to it in his or her prayer, and people would laugh at it and assume that apparently God could appreciate it and have a sense of humor. So I thought, I mean, is this really the case? So I needed to think about this. That's what I did, and I'm going to present the results to you today. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to present four theories of what it is to have a sense of humor that we find in the literature. Then I'm discussing three arguments against the view that God has a sense of humor. Then I look at the biblical evidence, then some philosophical evidence, and then, so the conclusion is going to be, yes, God does have a sense of humor. And then I say, well, what are the implications? What difference does it make? That's the setup. Are you okay with that? Okay, great. Okay, so here we go. Four theories of humor. The first one is the superiority theory. And the idea is that when you laugh at something or you're amused at something, you feel superior. As I said, when someone knocks over a cup of coffee or does it twice, you know, you feel superior and you laugh at it. Thomas Hobbes, for instance, he says, and I quote here from the handout, I may therefore conclude that the passion of laughter is nothing else but sudden glory arising from sudden conception of some eminency in ourselves by comparison with the infirmity of others or with our own formerly. So you can laugh at your own previous self, like your stupid mistakes in the past, right? For men laugh at the follies of themselves past when they come suddenly to remembrance, except they bring with them any present dishonor. Of course, then you're not amused. It's no wonder, therefore, that men take heinously to be laughed at or derided that is triumphed over. This is one big theory out there, and one of the main theory. The second theory is the relief theory, defended by Spencer, Dewey, and this might not be a relief to hear, Sigmund Freud. And the basic idea is that when you're amused, there's some kind of relief. So tension builds up. And then when you're amused and you laugh at something, there it goes. There's the relief, right? And unsurprisingly, this is often related to jokes having to do with sex or with violence, because there are strict prohibitions in most societies with regard to sex or violence. So when a joke is made, people laugh. And Freud says, humor is a means of obtaining pleasure in spite of the distressing effects that interfere with it. It acts as a substitute for the generation of these effects. It puts itself in their place. The conditions for its appearance are given if there is a situation in which, according to our usual habits, we should be tempted to release a distressing effect, and if motives then operate upon us which suppress that effect in statu nascendi, so when they arise. Okay, so that's the second theory. I mean, I'll get back to them later. I just want to sketch them briefly for you. The third one is the incongruity theory. I think Arthur Schopenhauer is one of the main defenders. And the basic idea of the incongruity theory is that there is something that isn't right, like an ambiguity, an irrelevance, a logical impossibility or inappropriateness, something like that. So to give an example, maybe you've run into this, or maybe searched it, on YouTube. So there is this famous bunker scene from the movie Downfall, about Hitler. Has anyone seen the movie Downfall? Right? So there is a bunker scene in which Hitler becomes very angry at his generals, at his staff. And he just goes completely crazy. And what they do is, the film is in German, and they replace the subtitles with English subtitles so that Hitler ends up being terribly angry at, say, the re-election of Obama or the newest iPad or his pizza arriving too late or some such thing. And apparently lots of people find this funny because of the incongruity, right? What you see doesn't match with what you read. And Schopenhauer he didn't see the movie, but he makes the same point. He says, in every case, laughter arises from nothing other than the sudden perception of an incongruity between a concept and the real objects that are in some respect thought through the concept. In fact, laughter itself is simply the expression of this incongruity. All laughter is occasioned by a paradoxical and hence unexpected subsumption, irrespective of whether it is expressed in words or deeds. All right, so this is the third main theory. The fourth and final theory has adherents like Max Eastman, but also Thomas Aquinas. And he is remarkably positive about humor and defends humor. So he says, for instance, now such like words or deeds where nothing further is sought than the soul's delight are called playful or humorous. Hence it is necessary at times to make use of them. So Aquinas thinks having a sense of humor or being amused has something to do with play. Maybe you would not expect, I don't know whether you've ever read those like five volumes, and you might not expect this from Thomas Aquinas, but he loves play and says play is necessary. I still am not exactly sure how it relates to humor, but he seems to identify the two, or they're closely related to each other. So I think those are the four main theories that we find in the literature. Okay. So far, so good, I think. Now, does God have a sense of humor? Some people think that he does not and cannot have a sense of humor. So let's turn to the objections, to three arguments to think that God does not have a sense of humor. So the first one is this. What one finds humorous is entirely subjective. It differs from person to person or from culture to culture. There's someone in the audience who knows about humor across cultures, so we might hear more about it. But so some people say it's entirely subjective. And if it's entirely subjective, well, how could God have a sense of humor? My reply is twofold. On the one hand, the fact that there is disagreement, so that people hold different views about what is funny and find different things funny, doesn't mean that there is no fact about it. In the same way as people hold different moral views, say about the rights of women or minorities, doesn't mean that there are no facts about it. And second, even if it is entirely subjective, God might have his own sense of humor. His own subjective sense of humor. And it might be different from some people, or maybe all people, right? So it doesn't rule out that God has a sense of humor. And the second one, the second objection is slightly more serious. I find this more challenging. So it says, we can be amused at stuff, because we can temporarily focus on things that we find funny. and forget about all the suffering in the world. But God knows about all the suffering and the pain of all his creatures in the world. So God can never be amused. I mean, how can you be amused if you know what's going on? Right. Again, I've got two replies to that. So first, I think we should remember that having a sense of humor is something that need not be activated all the time. Right? In the same way as a kind person need not be kind all the time or do kind deeds all the time. Right? He or she can be asleep, for instance, and still be a kind person. And in the same way, God can have a sense of humor even if he is not amused now. He might have been amused before the creation of the world, before there was suffering, and he might be amused when all evil has been removed from creation. So God could still have a sense of humor. And second, and this is a bit of a speculation, but it might be the case that God can focus on things. So he would still know about all the suffering in the world, but it would be his background knowledge. So God could still be amused because he focuses on a particular situation. So even though I find this second objection slightly more challenging, I'm not convinced by it. The final objection says, it assumes the incongruity theory, and it says, well, God is omniscient, he knows everything, right? So he will never be surprised by any incongruity. Nothing comes as a surprise to him. I say three responses. Three is maybe a bit much. Two will do, I suppose. So let me mention just two. The first one is, according to open theists, the future is open to God. So God doesn't know the future perfectly. If this is correct, then God would still be surprised at certain things. But even if you're not an open theist, you might still think that God has a sense of humor, even though he knows the future perfectly, because he might be amused, even though he's not surprised. And I don't know whether you've had this experience, but sometimes there's a joke, and every time you hear the joke, you're amused at it, simply because it's terribly funny. Sometimes even thinking about the jokes makes you smile, right? Have you had that experience? Am I the only one? No? Okay, good. So even though you're not surprised by it, you still find it funny for some reason. I don't know how it works, but that's how it works.
Especially with kids.
With kids? Yeah, I don't have kids, but yeah, I can imagine. So I don't find these objections convincing. Maybe there are other objections that I missed. So if so, let me know. Okay, let's turn to the Bible. Are there good biblical reasons to think that God has a sense of humor? And you being Christians, I expect serious objections to what I'm going to say right now. Here we go. I'm a Christian too, by the way. So here we go. Four reasons. The first reason is sometimes the Bible just says that God laughs at something. Here's an example from Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. And then it says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. So it says literally that God laughs. Now, I'm not convinced by this first consideration because God is not literally enthroned, right? There's not like a physical throne somewhere, right, up there. And in the same way, the point might just be that God is far superior. And he does not literally laugh. Second, key people representing God use humor. So well-known example is Elijah in 1 Kings 18. So there's this contest between God, the God of Israel, and Baal, right, on Mount Carmel. Do you know the story? Right? So the priests start and they try to get a response from Baal, but there is no response. So it says, but there was no response, no one answered, and they danced around the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is in deep thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. So Elijah is just making fun of them, right? He's using humor. And there are other passages. Still, I'm not convinced by these passages, because it seems to me God might just use humor because he knows that people will find it funny, right? It will have a certain effect, and he knows that. But he's not amused at it himself. That seems possible. So I'm not convinced by this consideration. Third reason. So, I mean, I wish there were good biblical evidence, but I can't find it. A third consideration is passages in which God performs an action himself that seems funny in a way. So at a certain point in Israel's history, the ark is captured. And then we read in 1 Samuel 5 the following. It says, after the Philistines had captured the ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then they carried the ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back on his place. But the following morning, when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. His head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. So God is just playing with the statue. He's making fun of it. And he's making fun of the Philistines, it seems. But again, it seems to me God might just use humor, right? Because he knows that we will find it funny, or the Israelites would find it funny, without being amused himself. So I'm not convinced. Finally, and importantly, there's Jesus himself, who many Christians, me included, believe to be God incarnate, so God himself. And Jesus himself uses humor all the time, especially in making fun of the Pharisees, but also on other occasions. So here's one of those occasions. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye, right? And Jesus is quite ironic, actually, at several points if you read the Gospels. But again, Jesus might just use humor to make a point without God being amused himself. So even though I'd really like to, I don't find any convincing biblical evidence that God has a sense of humor, even though there are a few suggestions in that direction. Okay, so if I might be mistaken, I hope I'm mistaken, so do let me know if that's the case. Fortunately, though, I think there are good philosophical reasons, and I happen to be a philosopher as well. There we go. Three philosophical reasons to think that God has a sense of humor. The first one is we can simply look at the four theories that I mentioned. So let's do that. The first one is the relief theory. Well, that's a theory of laughter, right? But you need not laugh in order to be amused, right? You can be amused at stuff and still decide not to laugh at it so that people don't notice. So that doesn't count against God's having a sense of humor, because it's not a theory of humor, but of laughter. The second one is the play theory. Well, there I'm not sure what to say. Does God play? Could be. I don't know. I'm not sure. At least it doesn't count against it. But then if we look at the other two theories, God clearly meets the conditions laid out in that theory. So the superiority theory, well, is God superior? Well, I guess he is, right? God is perfectly good in all regards, if God exists. So yes, he is superior, and he knows that he is superior. So he meets those conditions. And as to incongruity, God is omniscient. He knows everything. So he will know every inconsistency, every ambiguity. Anything will be known by him. So for most of the theories, God clearly meets the conditions. And that would mean that God has a sense of humor. Okay. Now a second argument. And when I say these are philosophical arguments, I mean that you don't need to rely on the Bible or Scripture or Revelation. Just the concept of God as a perfectly good being, perfect being in all regards, will do. And this is especially true for the second argument. It has a few steps. The first step is, it is good for human beings to have a sense of humor. Well, I suppose few of us would want to deny that. In fact, research shows that when we list the properties we like most in our friends and family and husbands, then it turns out that having a sense of humor is in the top five, and usually number one or two or three, quite high. So, yes, we do think having a sense of humor is a really good thing. Second, if something is intrinsically good for one thing, if something is intrinsically good for one thing, then it is intrinsically good for anything else that can have it. I say intrinsically good as opposed to instrumentally good. So, for instance, it's good for a building to be hurricane resistant, right? But it's not good for anything to be hurricane resistant. And God clearly wouldn't be hurricane resistant, right? It doesn't apply to him. So that's why I say intrinsically good. So good in itself, like being courageous, for instance. That is good in itself. Or being loving, right? That's good in itself, not for another purpose. It seems having a sense of humor is an intrinsically good thing. It's not because it's helpful for something else. No, it's just nice if someone has a good sense of humor. It's something we love. Okay. The fourth step says God can have a sense of humor. So it seems to me it doesn't conflict with being omniscient or omnipotent or any of those things. So God can have a sense of humor. And it just follows that God will have a sense of humor. So the basic idea of this argument is that God is perfectly good in all regards, and humor is also a good property. And it will follow that God will have a sense of humor. That's the second philosophical argument. And then the third and final philosophical argument runs as follows. Let's just go through the steps. That might be the easiest way to present the argument. First, human beings have been created in the image of God. This is a crucial idea in the Christian faith. Second, to be created in the image of God is to share certain properties with God. So it's to be like God in a certain way, right? So if we are created in the image of God, then that means we are in a way like God. We share properties with God. Three, normal adult human beings have a sense of humor. Not all human beings, and not even adult human beings, have a sense of humor, but normal adult human beings do have a sense of humor. And then the crucial step, and this is a bit controversial, but let me explain. If normal adult human beings, like you and me, I take myself to be fairly normal, have a property, and that property is not the consequence of being finite or sinful, then it's part of what it is to be created in the image of God. It's a bit of a complex idea, but so the idea is, if there is something we have that is not the consequence of our being finite or sinful, so morally wrong, then God will have that property as well. So we do things that are bad, but that's a consequence of our being sinful, right? And we will die at some point in our lives, in fact, the very end. We will die at some point, but that's the consequence of being finite. So that doesn't apply to God. However, if you look at a property like being a free person, that doesn't follow from being finite, right? And it doesn't follow from being sinful. There's nothing sinful about it. And so is God. God is a free person, if God exists. Or take something like being rational. That also applies to God, and it applies to us. And it doesn't follow from being finite or from being sinful. So I think this is a principle, an idea about the image of God that is true in general. Now, if you look at having a sense of humor, it doesn't seem to follow from being finite. It's not something that is limited to finite beings, right? There's nothing especially finite about having a sense of humor. Nor does it seem to follow from being sinful. There's just nothing wrong about it. But if that's the case, then human beings will share the property of having a sense of humor with God. And that means that God has a sense of humor. So it's a rather long line of reasoning. And crucial step is four. But if four is true, then it seems to me we have another good reason to think that God has a sense of humor. Okay, so three reasons, I take it in increasing strength, to think that God has a sense of humor. But why does it matter? I mean, what difference does it make? So let me close my talk by saying three things about that. First, if God has a sense of humor, then it changes what I call the face of God or God's character. So God is taken to be omniscient, so he knows everything, omnipotent, he can do anything, he's eternal, that sort of thing. And that's, I mean, that tells us something about God. But if God has a sense of humor, that tells us something very important. It gives a character to God, right? That makes God more recognizable to us in a way. It's something very important if you find out that a person has a great sense of humor, right? So that will make a difference to our relationship with God. Right? We will see God differently, think about God differently. We will worship him as a being with a great sense of humor, the perfect sense of humor. Second, if God has a sense of humor, then that might explain certain things in reality. So if you look at the animal kingdom, there are just, if you look at BBC documentaries, there are a few creatures on this planet, and not only humans, but also animals, that just look bizarre, right? They look funny and strange to us. And so one explanation might be that God has a sense of humor, and he makes things that look funny. For that very purpose, or partly for that purpose. And finally, if God has a sense of humor, then that might make a difference to what I call religious practices or Christian practices. So think, for instance, of liturgy and prayer. So this is a bit speculative. I don't know how you think about this, but it might make a difference to what we do on Sundays when we meet in church. And actually, this already happens in certain churches. So there are certain churches where the Sunday after Easter, that's the Sunday of laughter and humor. So there will be all sorts of jokes in the sermon, and people will laugh, and they will have fun. And they do so because the basic idea is that by raising Jesus Christ from the dead, God pulled a big joke on Satan. But this is what they... I mean, this is why they do this. This is what they believe. And it might also be appropriate to use jokes in one's prayers, for instance. It might be, but then it might not be. I'm not sure. I believe the Queen of England has a sense of humor. I take it that she has a sense of humor. But I wouldn't make jokes in her presence, I suppose, because she is the Queen. Let alone God, who's the most perfect and holy being there ever is or was or will be. So maybe it's not appropriate to make jokes in one's prayers. I'm not sure. Maybe it is. But that is at least something, I think, worth exploring. So I think it has important implications. Finally, let me say, I have to admit it is somewhat paradoxical that I do this like dry philosophical presentation in order to convince you that God has a sense of humor. Fortunately, if the incongruity theory is right, then this very fact might be something funny. And thus it is good to know that even if my attempt is not successful and not all of you are convinced by my arguments, as long as the conclusion is true, God may smile at my attempt to establish it. Thank you very much. I'm really curious to hear what you think about this.
I'm curious as to whether God's joy, which clearly he has, and he delights in things, and what how those might be related to a sense of humor as well.
So it seems to me like joy is related to humor, but it's also a different thing, right?
Yeah.
You might rejoice in things and be happy, but not be like amused or find them funny, right? And maybe even the other way around. So irony, for instance, is something, is in a way a sense of, it's humor, but then...
What was the Jesus way of teaching people? We don't want to find irony. if you would categorize irony as part of humor, he used that as a lot of illustrations and teachings with the irony.
Right, yes, yeah.
Yeah, I think we should include it in summers, in preaching, because those are stories. I mean, I don't know, maybe because they are from Bible, we tend to make them serious.
Oh, so you think they are actually funny, and we tend to make them more serious than they are?
But you should put in the place of the characters, in the, like the project of Sun. Your brother comes home, but what's the banquet for? What? For your brother? What? Mm-hmm. My brother?
Right.
It's kind of funny, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why not? But yeah, he left you. He took the money and spent it. Now you're making a banquet or a party for him. That's, I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Right. So I think there are lots of stories in the Bible that make me smile, that I find funny. But I'm a bit worried that, as I said, they don't give us a reason to think that God himself has a sense of humor. Or do they? So I first thought they did, and then I sent the paper to a journal, and then the editor convinced me that, you know, God might just use humor, because he knows everything, so he knows we find it funny.
Yeah, but
he's not amused.
Why would he use humor? Because he probably has a sense of humor. Otherwise,
yeah, why would he use it? Well, because it's effective for us. I mean, he uses other things for us that to bring a message across, for instance, right?
Can you use something that you don't know?
Yeah, so I think that's a fascinating question. So I've thought about that, and my idea was, well, God can know that we find it funny, but so he knows it, but he's not amused at it himself. So he himself doesn't find it funny. He just knows that we find it funny.
Don't you think that the creation itself is a sign of his sense of humor? I mean, think about the giraffe with the leg.
Oh, right, yeah.
I mean, if you look through the creation, I could have never come up with so many funny things.
Uh-huh. Right, so I think that's what I hinted at the end, like my suggestion. It might explain certain features of the world. But then, if you don't, I mean, you might just say, well, you know, that's just how God created them, or how they, you know, through an evolutionary process, how they ended up being. But I think if you do it the other way around,
what kind of belief you have in a sense of,
yeah, like background beliefs.
Or the whole earth, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that. But
that's all it is.
If you just think about humans, some people don't have a good sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
And when they don't have it, they don't use it. Because it's not just if you can use it, but if you understand it. So humor is a two-way thing, not just using it, but understanding it. And a person who doesn't have humor doesn't use it and doesn't understand it.
I see.
So I think if God didn't have a humor, he would have plenty of other resources to use to teach us things.
All right.
So why would he use humor just because we have it?
Uh-huh.
When he can use anything else.
There would have been several other ways to make the point. Yes, I find it funny whether you need to have a sense of humor or find things funny in order to, say, be funny or, like, make jokes. But I'm not sure about that. So for instance, I think if you take the analogy with autism, for instance, so autistic people, they will not feel emotions on certain occasions, or not as strongly, but they will know that certain other people will feel those emotions, right? And they learn to adapt themselves to it. So they might say certain things because they know it, you know, it's helpful. But then you might think, well, that's a deficiency, really, right?
Yeah.
So, and there are no deficiencies in God.
You have accepted the definition of the human, what is human.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so that was...
I think it's about this, what is my definition of human? For me, it's funny, and the humor is what? I am expecting something to be happening as my logical thinking, and it is going another direction.
Another direction, any thought,
and,
yeah.
The good humor is that in direction of something absolutely not mankind thinking, good outcome. And it's a sense of humor. Woody Allen.
Yeah, Woody Allen, yeah.
Expectation, okay? He's doing something and always wrong outcome.
Okay? Sure.
But God's humor is in changing the outcome on absolutely on humanistic way, another way. We are not able to never to think in this way. And sometimes it makes me laughing on what way he's leading some situations.
Right.
It's my definition of humor.
Okay.
Just a sense of fun and...
Yeah, so I think that's a so that would be like a variety of the maybe the incongruity theory. So something incongruous. So there's a pattern. So you expect it to go a certain way, and then something it goes completely differently, right, from what you expect. But we need some more detail because not every such situation will be funny. So if I take this water and walk up to you and we'll throw it over you, right? Will you be amused?
It's a
you wouldn't expect that. You wouldn't expect that. It will look funny. Well, maybe it will look funny, but not everyone will be amused at that. So maybe to some people. So,
I think relationally is not biblical.
I think that's true.
It's written in the Bible, it shouldn't be supposed to be funny, because it's written in the Bible, but some stories are just funny. Like, for example, Jacob. We all know the story about Jacob. And, I don't know, he's a cheater, he cheats his brother, he cheats his father, and then he tried to cheat his father-in-law. And what happens to him? When he wakes up, he was supposed to be with beautiful wife, but he's with another attractive wife. That's funny.
Unattractive wife.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
That God? Is that some kind of joke? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so...
And God chooses her to be the great-great-grandmother of the Messiah.
Sure,
That's humor.
That's humor, yeah.
I would be curious what the motivation of... people is to prove or disprove God's humor. What is the reason why some people want to prove it, that God has a sense of humor, and what is the reason behind why some people want to prove that God doesn't?
So I can answer that question. The question was, what does people motivate in affirming that God has a sense of humor or rejecting the idea that God has a sense of humor? So John Muriel rejects the idea that God has a sense of humor. And he presents God as, you know, this dry person that... So my idea is he doesn't feel at all attracted to believe in God. And that matches well with denying that God has a sense of humor.
The question is, what is Hill's goal in approving or disproving this? Because we have some kind of an incentive, some kind of a goal
incentive.
Inside. In the world, why we want to prove that God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And why we want to say... I have an assumption, but I have never thought about this before, but I have an assumption that people who want to take away, to prove that God has no sense of humor, they fear that with humor, God's dignity will be taken away.
Taken away. Oh, for those who believe in God. Okay.
Yeah.
Because John Muriel doesn't believe that there is a God, I think. So, some God's dignity might be taken away, or that might be true. Or his holiness or something
okay,
like that.
He's not a Christian. He doesn't believe in God.
No, for him it's different.
Yes, but yeah. For him it yeah. might be one incentive can be that if a person, when we want to disqualify somebody, yeah. we often say, oh, he has no sense of humor.
True, yeah, it works quite well. Yeah. Yeah, so maybe disqualifying.
And then on the other hand, we're talking about personal God. Because mm-hmm. all other gods are not personal gods, so we don't... we don't connect them with the sense of fear. We just connect them with big rulers, or the one that punishes you, or the one that blesses you. But we're talking about personal God. The part of personality is to have a sense of humor.
Well, I mean, in Islam, for instance, I think God is believed to be a person, but I don't think anyone has suggested that God has a sense of humor. And even in the Christian tradition, it's not widespread. I've never read a systematic theology like in dogmatics or something that says that God has a sense of humor. Have I missed it?
That's a different field.
Do you notice how though we start protecting God as he's having a sense of humor? Because we want to feel close to him. We feel close to people who have a sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
If you ask for people who are searching for a girlfriend or a boyfriend, one of the number one things they say, she must have a sense
of humor. Yeah.
That makes the argument judgmental, because when we're talking about somebody having a sense of humor, we mean something positive.
Right.
And for example, if you would have thrown water over this lady, mm-hmm. we would have laughed and said, oh, he has a good sense of humor. She probably would have said, oh, he's just trying to be humorous. And making it negative.
I don't know. yeah, I wouldn't
so
try.
Why do we talk about having a sense of humor?
Mm-hmm.
And why why is humor the only kind of sense or feeling that we use this terminology with? Why don't we say the question, for example, does God have a sense of anger?
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
We say he can't be angry
because he can't be covered.
Right, so...
That brings me to the question, why don't you argue with the opposite? If God can be angry, or if God...
But humor communicates.
There are so many questions. Okay, yeah. Okay, so humor communicates and...
Humor communicates, a means of communication.
Yeah.
And you were using the logical argument that we're made in the image of God.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
All of us know people, as you were saying, uh-huh. who have no sense of humor.
Right, I
and
think so, yeah.
We don't all have the same one either, so as with the water. But mm-hmm. somebody who has no sense of humor is mighty difficult to communicate with. You all of a sudden miss a major tool to reach the person.
Right.
You can't tickle their sense of humor, so you can't depend on something funny that happened in the past. It's always going to be misinterpreted.
Right.
I wonder if there are people who don't have sense of humor. They just may not have...
I'm not sure, but...
Well, I think...
Okay.
That could be...
I think everyone has a sense of humor. Yeah, it just depends on a good sense of humor or a bad sense of humor. Because everyone thinks different things funny.
The sense of humor is being able to laugh at yourself. And God uses that to communicate with us. And I think each one of us, if we've had God working in our lives at all this year,
uh-huh.
can come up with a story.
If we do your question first.
I would say that I disagree with the fact that humor is a communicator. I was just reading an article on the Dutch Prime Minister, who has a great sense of humor. Everyone thinks so. I disagree with that argument, and I often people say something about arguing with the opposite arguments, like that God is angry, or the text in the Bible, for example, Jesus wept.
Right.
And we all seem to conclude that Jesus can feel sorrow or God.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, that touches on the question whether God has emotions. And for a long time in theology, it has been said that God lacks emotions. For instance, Thomas Aquinas says that for many emotions. And the idea, one of the reasons is that God is immutable, right? He doesn't change. And that would apply to anger, sorrow, repentance, many different emotions. So actually I'm trying to write pieces on each of those. So I've written on the repentance and on jealousy and now humor, and there are further ones. And I think there are problems with that I need to be tackled with the general idea that God has emotions, and then there are problems with each, like specific to humor or to anger, right? Because anger seems morally wrong in a way, or it raises different issues. So I try to tackle them one by one. That's my strategy. Jürgen, you want to?
Yes, I want to say something about this incongruity.
Okay, sure.
Incongruity, that means there is a difference between idea and reality. And that provokes
the
idea of life, how life should be. It could not be that I fall down with this leg, all these things.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that there is this difference. And if you have this as main idea, you see that is what reacts humor. But if a man falls down on a stage, then they can do laughter. Is it an idea that he looks to fall down, but he falls down? Mm-hmm. But if the person is handicapped, you will not laugh.
Right.
For there is reality and idea is not that problem. And if you go from out of this interpretation of idea and reality, then the question is, you should say that fanatic has no sense of humor. For fanatics, idea and reality is the same. That is a problematic thing of hate and fanaticism. Even situations, I said handicapped, situations when people die, that is the end of humor. Besides that, the man who is injured or is dying, that he makes a joke. But it's not good to make a joke about such a person. In the Bible, I found a sign of God's humor in this line when you see the story of the building of Babel. Mm-hmm. It should be a very big building to reach the sky. And then the Bible says that God came down to look what are they doing.
Yeah.
I think that is on this line of idea and difference, that God, who sees everything, in this situation, he must come down, for it's so small what they are doing that
they can
see. So if there is a difference between what it is planned and what people think they do, and God reacts to that. You can say that it's humor of God or humor of the authors of the New Testament.
Yeah.
That's Old Testament. Then you have Dostoevsky says that you can recognize a person in seeing how the persons laugh. That's a sentence. Alfred Adler wrote an article about this sentence.
Okay.
If you read the main novels of Dostoevsky, you always see that he introduces all the people permanently to show how they laugh. And laughing is very different, warm and friendly. But it can be bitter and full of hate. Laugh, the sign of laugh, is not the question of humor. It can be provoked of different things. But if you have this, and it is a question, have animals humor? The word man is animal ridens, the laughing animal.
Mm-hmm.
So that this has a special thing, which is a difference between us and animals. I think that is an important thing when we say, support the incongruity idea, to say it's a difference of idea and reality. And then say, on the one hand, is a fanatic who has not this difference. But in this world, in this fallen world, we have everywhere the difference between idea and reality. Therefore, for us living in this world and not say there is no difference, humor is our escape out of this situation. We see permanently in our life, we have ideas, or we say, from tomorrow on, I will never do this and that. And then the next day, sorry, it was. No, you can say, it can be fanatic, or you can say, okay, that's how life is. Such is life. Nobody is perfect.
Okay. Yeah, so I think those are some very helpful suggestions. And I will look up the quote from Dostoevsky. Oh, so it's all over in his work, if you're right. I just got one question about the fanatic. So you say, for the fanatic, ideal and reality are identical. That's what you said, right?
When you think that the man is without humor, he has no difference. Humor is the difference. You see Woody Allen, all this is bad. You see always there is a difference. There is an idea how life could be, or people say, but they have to confess, or everybody sees.
Right, but a fundamentalist, for instance, acknowledges that there's reality and how he or she wants reality to be. So she devotes herself to a particular cause in order to make reality how she wants it to be. So wouldn't you say even a fanatic distinguishes between reality as it is and as she wants it to be?
Fanatic tries to bring the reality into similar situation as his idea is. He says, my idea is right.
Right, so they're, but they are distinct then.
And so he tries to minimize the gap between idea and reality,
and
states that there is no gap.
Right.
But everyone sees it. For he has a lack of this seeing that he cannot continue with his idea. In the life, as we lead it here in this fallen world, we have always, on every point, the difference between our ideas, how it should be, and how it is.
Okay.
And I think for us, it's very important that we deal with this gap with humor.
Had a follow-up? Yeah.
One form of humor is linguistic puns. Have you explored puns in the Bible? Adam came from the ground, and yet the words are tied into each other. Is there an element in which God is naming Adam that name in a way that carries a part of humor with it? I don't know with certainty. I'm just but looking at puns, we use puns a lot to make things funny,
right?
And it's incongruity that's there, but it's linguistic incongruity.
Yeah, like certain nicknames, for instance.
Right. And looking for examples like that, laughter for naming Isaac.
Isaac, yeah.
Because Sarah laughed at the idea that she would have a baby, so she named him Laughter.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a delight with that in God's perspective. So.
Right. No, I didn't look at that. So I will have a look at it. I'm worried that even if that's the case, one might do the same old response, like, well, God might use it for that purpose.
Yeah, it puts him in a functional frame of reference, that he's just using them to function.
What's the reason that you feel that God necessarily doesn't enjoy in that, like, he's not amused by it?
Oh, well, I don't feel that he's not amused by it, but I'm trying to find good reasons to think that God has a sense of humor. For those who do not yet believe that, I try to convince them.
Critics in that sense.
I'm responding to critics or agnostics, unbelievers. You know, people who say, "Well, maybe God does."
I'm trying to convince them. Think of him as a cruel somebody who is.
Yeah, well, not necessarily. They might just say, "Well, God is, you know, is perfectly good and loving and so forth." But I don't know whether he has a sense of humor. Many people in this room seem to be convinced. Maybe there was a selection process. Like, only those people with humor came to...
No, I understand you completely. Like, that you trying, but...
Yeah, that's how it works, yeah.
When he created Adam, man is created in the image of God. So, images of... those characteristics of man, like... happiness, sadness, sorrow, laughter, joy. These are not man's capability. That's image of God in us.
Okay, I'm glad you say that, because
that's not ours, that's God's characteristic.
Right, so I believe so too. So that's the third argument. Yeah, one, the third philosophical argument I tried to provide. So there was one question. Sorry, I tried to keep track of the questions.
I'm personally convinced that God has a sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
It's like how I know him. But this argument, the second and the third, which looks very logical, I would not be able to follow it.
Okay.
Because the third point in the second and the fifth point in the third one, I cannot really follow this. It's not objective, I would say. It is intrinsically good to have a sense of humor. Yes,
right.
I agree, but I cannot prove that. So it is. We feel that it is,
uh-huh.
And the same, to have a sense of humor is not a consequence of one being not sinful. We don't feel humor is a sinful thing, but we don't know it.
Okay, good, yeah.
So at this point, there may be a bit more explanation or something.
Wiggle room? Yeah, I think that's right. So let me say something about each of them. So, I mean, these are philosophical arguments. So it's not math, so I can't prove it, but I can give good reasons to support these premises. In the paper I do so in more detail. But I think, so I try to make it plausible, that's the most I can do. And I think if there are no good counterexamples, then that will do. By intrinsic goodness, I mean, so you have intrinsic goodness and instrumental goodness, so goodness in itself or goodness for a further purpose. And I think it's widely acknowledged that humor falls in the former category, like joy, for instance. Joy or happiness or something is not good for yet something else. It's good in itself. And same thing for virtues, like patience and courage. It's good in itself. Unless they're good counterexamples, I think we have good reasons to embrace three, even though it's not proven. As to five, so five is slightly more complicated, but I just use lots of examples. And I don't think we ever morally condemn someone for having a sense of humor. Maybe for having the wrong sense of humor, but not for having a sense of humor. Have you ever, right? I don't think you ever have. And also it doesn't seem to be something like, well, that only finite beings will have, dying at some point or being spatially limited or one of those properties. So unless you come up with a counterexample, I think we have sufficient reason to embrace it. That's how I go about as a philosopher. My way through life. That's what I'm paid for, actually.
That's how you earn your living.
That's how I earn my living. Yeah, the best I can do. There was another question. Oh, yeah, sure.
I was going to say that from what people have been saying, we've agreed that there are passages in Scripture that there's subtle humor.
Yeah.
So the word plagues, for example, that were referred to me, that's very subtle. But you have to understand the culture and be willing to dig deeper into the stories to really understand that. So you said when people have talked to me about whether God has humor and they are not willing to accept it, I think a lot of times you'd have to go to a much deeper level for them to be able to appreciate that humor. There really isn't there's no slapstick humor in the Scripture, but I think the one passage that comes closest to the slapstick is in 1 Kings 18, if no one has referred to this yet, it's the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, where Elijah said to all the people coming in, verse 27, at noon Elijah mocked them.
So, yeah, is that... Oh, yeah, okay, I did mention that, yeah. I'm glad you came up with it, too. So we agree, it's funny. We have the same sense of humor. Good.
That's not as subtle. That one to me is much more direct.
Yeah, it's very direct, yeah. So I think everyone will acknowledge that Elijah's just making fun of them there. Yeah.
But that's Elijah.
That's Elijah.
So Right. Well, you know, definitely there is a Bible is full of humor. You know,
yeah.
There's a book. There's a lot.
A lot of humor.
But that's the only that I can see connection. If God has a sense of humor, is because He created us with all our senses, and not only, you know, different senses that we have. So does. If I would go on ahead with, for example, does God suffer, you know, on the same of that idea?
Mm-hmm.
I think that if He can suffer, He has a sense of humor as well.
Okay.
So in researching it in an anthropological level, you know, there is a lot of also anthropomorphism in a sense that we are as human writing and giving God our human characteristics that God did this because we wrote the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the humans did.
Right.
So it's it should be a research on that, like on the anthropomorphism levels of the case.
Right. So I think there are indeed anthropomorphism in the Bible. But then sometimes that's the case and sometimes not.
Yeah.
Right. And it's hard to say when. And also there's the idea of divine accommodation. So John Calvin uses the idea. So God accommodates himself. So he adapts himself in what he says. I mean, it's not always like the way you talk to a child, for instance. It's not exactly true about the world, but it's enough to, you know, to sure. bring a message across. So God might be doing that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure.
I was just wondering if the whole question of whether God has humor or not comes because humor is a characteristic that is... I don't know if you can think of any other like it, that it can be either bad or good. So humor can be mean, humor can hurt, but humor can also make you feel very good, feel happy. So you don't say happiness can be good or bad.
True.
Or you don't say anger can be good or bad.
Well... Maybe it can be. So I think an example that I've been thinking about recently is jealousy. So jealousy is often not good, right? So being overly jealous. But then it can be a good thing. I mean, if my wife pays a certain kind of attention to another kind of a certain other kind of person, I will start to feel jealous. And I think it's right to do so. And then sometimes it's not. So it depends. It all depends. So. Do you think there's an analogy there?
Yeah, but still I'm wondering if that's our problem with whether God has humor.
Has or humor.
But once again, it comes into the picture that God is perfect. So if God has a humor, it's the best humor.
It's the best
you can
ever imagine, right?
Yeah. So, and why would that be wrong or not acceptable to have the best humor?
Right. So, I think most people who object to the idea that God has a sense of humor would not say that it's morally wrong, but that it's somehow incompatible with God's other properties. For instance, God's holiness or God's omniscience. Or one of those properties.
The example of the Queen of England that you gave at the end of your speech is very much showing how many people would probably think about or feel about making jokes in their art.
I think so.
Yeah. But I'd also like to ask the Queen of England whether she would. I think, like, if I was the Queen of England, I would like it every once in a while if someone made jokes around me and someone tried to make me
True.
Laugh. And
what I mean is the system that is around her, nobody feels allowed to make a joke.
Right.
And that's probably from dating back into the Middle Ages.
But I suppose Prince Charles can make a joke or two in her presence. But then I can't, I think. That would not feel... I don't know what I would do, actually, if I were to meet the Queen. I might make jokes, but I don't think I would. I wouldn't dare to.
If you meet the King of Holland,
right,
you would be able to make a joke. I know somebody who works for him.
Okay, good. right. Yeah, more easily so. So I think it also has to do with acquaintance. Once you've known a person for a while.
And I think it's also about what kind of humor you use. Like if it's
right.
Like mean humor, I would definitely not use mean humor in front of the Queen of England. Especially if it's at her expense.
Uh-huh.
But if it's, innocent, just funny little joke, why not?
You described humor to some degree as hanging on incongruity and relief and a couple of other things.
Yeah, I mean, those are the theories out there, yeah.
Coming back to the thought that this is a tool of communication we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that impress things on our mind. And this is why...
Yeah.
I think there are ways to find this in Bible stories if you're looking hard enough, but that when God communicates with us,
mm-hmm.
He also uses things that are going to impress it upon our mind. I enjoy God's sense of humor.
Okay, great, yeah. Okay,
but
I think...
That doesn't mean that it is a negative. It could be, though, because sometimes he has to... show us very much that we've been wrong to discipline us.
Okay, yeah. So is everybody convinced that God has a sense of humor then? Is there no opponents in the room? No?
They wouldn't dare raise their
hand. Right, they wouldn't dare anyway. Who dares after this? Well, I think it's time. So thank you, everyone. I've written down a whole lot and a lot of work to do. So thank you for your questions and suggestions.